From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to me Ahmad Faisal in English program. Hopefully you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that cannot only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesian Food and Drug Supervisory Agency BPOM develops MOU with United Arab Emirates for COVID-19 vaccine. New South Wales eases its border with Victoria. Now the news in details. The Indonesian Food and Drug Supervisory Agency BPOM will develop a memorandum of understanding with the United Arab Emirates on the COVID-19 vaccine. The head of BPOM, Penny Lukito, in a press statement, which was conveyed via the Presidential Secretariat YouTube account, explained that this collaboration is to ensure the speed of access to vaccine is in line with international standards.
Berdasarkan pertemuan kami dengan badan regulator dengan obat,
based on our meeting with the United Arab Emirates Drug Regulatory Agency, we will develop a joint MOU, and both parties have agreed to develop a collaboration between the POM agency and the United Arab Emirates Ministry of Health to ensure the speed of access to this vaccine through a more targeted regulatory process and fulfilling international standards. In this MOU, we will jointly oversee the regulatory process in the field of drugs and vaccine and the development of the pharmaceutical industries of the two countries. Penny Lukito explained that the Memorandum of Understanding also contained an agreement for investment both in Indonesia and the United Arab Emirates. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati has assured that the government fiscal policy for 2021 will be directed towards improving various indicators of public welfare. The minister said during a plenary meeting with the House of Representatives DPR in Jakarta on Tuesday that the equitable distribution of the people's access to basic needs, such as the availability of food and housing, health and educational facilities, will be high on the list of the government's fiscal policy priorities in 2021. According to Minister Sri Mulyani, robust economic growth coupled with stable economic condition will offer a positive momentum to the government to reduce the indicators of poverty and disparity. The indicators of poverty and disparity increased in 2020 due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Hence, the government is committed to issuing policies in favor of the public. The minister further said various government programs, particularly social protections and provisions of incentives to businesses, will hopefully help reduce poverty and open unemployment rates. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move it on to the international news. Asia-Pacific nation convened the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, UNFAO, virtual conference to plan COVID-19 response and recovery to mitigate the impacts of the pandemic and tackle the hunger crisis. As COVID-19 continues to threaten lives and livelihoods across numerous nations of the Asia-Pacific region, the UNFAO announced, as noted in a release issued by the FAO Regional Office for Asia-Pacific and received in Jakarta on Tuesday, The Asia-Pacific region is home to over half of the world's undernourished and the wake of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. The number of hungry people in Southern Asia is projected to rise by nearly a third to reach 330 million by 2030. In response, government representatives from 46 FAO member states in Asia and the Pacific have convened a four-day virtual conference to closely assess the current situation of food security in the region, with specific emphasis on implications linked to the spread of the coronavirus disease and its impact on food systems across the region. Over 400 delegates are partaking in a virtual meeting of FAO's 35th session of the Asia-Pacific Regional Conference, hosted by the Royal Government of Bhutan. The meeting involved government officials, private sectors, civil society, academia, and technical experts in the food and agriculture sectors. Health authorities in New South Wales, Australia, had confirmed 13 new cases for coronavirus infection, while restriction for residents on the New South Wales-Victorian border has been eased. Luca Kusumati has the details.
From this Friday, the border community, the border region, will be extended to that initial 50 kilometres on either side of the border.
There were 14,815 tests completed during the reporting period, and New South Wales has now recorded 3,874 cases. New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian announced on Tuesday the easing of restrictions for residents and businesses on the New South Wales-Victorian border, which will come into force on Friday.
Pleasingly, having obviously heard the sustained concerns of the community and seeing the rates of infection in Victoria decline, from this Friday, the border community, the border region, will be extended to that initial 50 kilometres on either side of the border. Service New South Wales and the community has a few days to adjust to that. We wanted to make sure that, unlike previous changes, we gave as much notice as possible so that people would be able to start planning ahead.
Prime Minister Berejiklian added that she was hesitant to ever close the border and did not want it closed for a day longer than necessary, but there had been some difficulty in getting up-to-date information on transmission and testing rates in Victoria, which prevented the border from opening before now.
I was very hesitant in closing the border, but we won't be hesitant. We won't leave it a day longer than we need to, but we have to make sure it's the right thing to do at the right time, and it's in order to make sure we keep the community safe. What we've done at all stages during the pandemic, especially in the last 6 or 7 weeks, is make sure we didn't go down the path of Victoria. And that's why we worked overtime, because now, even though I know it's frustrating for many people in this community, think of the alternative, which would have been, you know, had we had to have shut down New South Wales, none of us would be moving around as freely as we are. Businesses wouldn't be able to do anything. And so, as difficult as it's been, please know the decision of the government, my decision, was coming from a place of good intention. And of course, as I said, we won't leave the border closed for a day longer than we need to.
At present, Victorian border residents with permits to enter New South Wales must stay within 2.5 kilometre zone, but that will now be extended back to the original 50 kilometres either side of the border introduced in July. The New South Wales government would be closely watching transmission in Victoria over the next fortnight, but could not yet give a timeline on when New South Wales would open completely to Victoria. A meeting between leaders of Serbia and Kosovo at the White House this week will promote economic links between the Balkan nations in an attempt to bypass an intractable political dispute, a senior Trump administration official told reporters on condition of anonymity. A meeting between leaders of Serbia and Kosovo at the White House this week will promote economic links between the Balkan nations in an attempt to bypass an intractable political dispute, a senior Trump administration official told reporters on condition of anonymity. Serbian President Aleksandar Vučić and Kosovo Prime Minister Abdullah Hoti are slated to meet at the White House on Thursday for talks hosted by U.S. Special Envoy Richard Grenell, the White House said earlier. None of the UN Security Council member states have introduced a resolution to continue sanction relief with respect to Iran after the expirations of the deadline to do so. UN Security Council President for the month of September, Abdul Abari, told reporters on Tuesday August 31st was the deadline to put forward a UN Security Council resolution to extend the sanction relief with respect to Iran, 10 days after the formal notification of Iran's significant non-performance with the 2015 nuclear agreement was sent by the United States. On August 20, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo sent a letter to the U.N. Security Council that the Council President Diandrian Shahyani requesting the invoking of the nuclear agreement snapback sanction mechanism under U.N. Resolution 2231. Pompeo said the United States, a permanent member of the U.N. Security Council, will use its veto power to prevent such document from being adopted to extend sanction relief. However, Yani said last week that he was not able to take further actions regarding the United States' attempt to reimpose all United Nations sanctions against Iran. The majority of the UN Security Council members, including Russia, China, France, Germany, South Africa, and the United Kingdom, said they would not support the United States' move to snap back sanctions on Iran, since the United States unilaterally withdrew from the nuclear agreement in 2018. The Trump administration has outlined a plan to help certain American farmers of seasoned fruits and vegetables that are hurt by foreign imports and will reach out to Mexico to discuss concern, the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative, USTR, said in a press release. The release said on Tuesday that USTR will request the International Trade Commission to initiate a Section 201 Global Safeguard investigation into the extent to which increased imports of blueberries have caused serious injury to domestic blueberry growers. In addition, the Trade Office will seek high-level talks with the government of Mexico in the next 90 days to address U.S. concerns related to U.S. imports of Mexican strawberries, bell peppers, and other seasoned products. According to the release, said the USTR will work with U.S. producers to begin an investigation by the International Trade Commission to monitor the situation and possibly impose protective measures if needed later this year. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Semboyan kami ang kasawan RRI. Sekali di udara, tetap di udara. Semenjak 45 tak pernah berhenti. Patuh dan setia berjiwa Pancasila.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitled Palestine After United Arab Emirates Israel Relations Normalization. The cohesiveness of Arab states to support Palestine is being tested. After successfully establishing good relations with the United Arab Emirates, Israel is reportedly continuing to make approaches to other Arab countries. In Abu Dhabi, for the first time, the Israeli flag was raised. It occurred when the United Arab Emirates, Israel, and the United States high-ranking officials met for the first time after the inaugural landing of an Israeli aircraft at Abu Dhabi International Airport. The trilateral meeting of the United Arab Emirates, Israel, and the United States in Abu Dhabi is a follow-up to the peace agreement between the United Arab Emirates and Israel, which was concluded 2 weeks ago. Abu Dhabi's decision has greatly disappointed Palestine, as shown by the withdrawal of the Palestinian ambassador from the United Arab Emirates. Palestinians regret the change in attitude of the United Arab Emirates that had agreed to normalize relations with Israel last August 13. This action is considered a betrayal by the Palestinian people. The remorse of the Palestinians for the United Arab Emirates may continue. Israel reportedly is making approaches to various other Arab countries. An Israeli official said it was possible that Bahrain, Oman, and Sudan would follow in the footsteps of the United Arab Emirates. This may become reality because Israel's move is fully supported by the United States, which is its main ally. If that happens, then the struggle of the Palestinian people to achieve a truly sovereign state will become even harder. Diplomatic steps need to be optimized. Good relations with countries that support it must be maintained through diplomacy and other strategic steps. Listener, that was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumati. Thank you for listening.
Listener, we meet again in our regular Today in History of Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on September 2, 1945, was the Independence Day of Vietnam. Vietnam is the easternmost country on the Indochina Peninsula in Southeast Asia. After a long period under royal rule in China, Vietnam was colonized by France. In 1941, the leader of the Vietnamese Revolution, Ho Chi Minh, founded the League for Vietnam's Independence. The League was composed of Vietnamese nationalists and communist groups who supported Vietnamese independence. Viet Minh fought against the French and Japanese colonialists who were then occupying Vietnam. At the end of World War II, Ho led the Viet Minh in guerrilla to control major cities in Vietnam. On September 2, 1945, at Ba Dinh Square, Ho Chi Minh declared the independence of the Democratic Republic of Vietnam, then served as the country's first president. Next, turn to a story of Nicaragua earthquakes on September 2, 1992. The Nicaragua earthquake occurred on the coast of Nicaragua on September 2, 1992 at 6:16 p.m. Reportedly, the earthquake caused some damages in Costa Rica. At least 116 people were killed and several others injured. The Nicaragua earthquake caused a tsunami, which killed many victims, including children. More than 68 people were missing, and more than 13,500 were homeless. As a result of the earthquake and tsunami, at least 1,300 houses and 185 fishing boats were destroyed along the west coast of Nicaragua. We end with a history of an incident Swiss airplane Flight 111 crashed on September 2, 1998. Swiss Air Flight 111 or SR111 or SWR111 was a scheduled McDonnell Douglas MD-11 flight from John F. Kennedy International Airport in New York, United States to Cointrin International Airport in Geneva, Switzerland. On September 2, 1998, the MD-11 aircraft crashed in the Atlantic Ocean southwest of Halifax International Airport, Nova Scotia, Canada. The plane was crushed to pieces when it hit the water and killed 229 people, consisting of 215 passengers and 14 crew members. This accident is the worst accident involving an MD-11 aircraft that was today in history.
Hello, listener of Radio Republic Indonesia. My name is Gustavo Ayares, Ambassador of Chile to Indonesia. This is a wonderful opportunity to express our congratulations for the 75th anniversary of the radio. And I hope that in the future will be a wonderful future for the listener, for the community that follow this radio. All the best for you. Blessings.
Pilihlah aku yang mampu mencintai. dari dia. Bukan ku ingin merebutmu dari sahabatku, namun kau tahu cinta tak bisa, tak bisa kau salahkan. Wow.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is today's My Indonesia. Today's title is ASEAN Economic Ministers Agree to Increase Cooperation with Dialogue Partners. Indonesian Trade Minister Agus Suparmanto led again Indonesian delegates in the ASEAN Economic Ministers meetings with the dialogue partners. The meetings were the 9th AEM Canada Consultations, 25th AEM Closer Economic Relations or SER Consultations, 27th AEM India Consultations, and 17th AEM ROK Consultations. These meetings ended the series of 52nd AEM meetings and other related meetings on August 22nd until 29th, 2020. Indonesian Trade Minister's release mentioned that in the 9th AEM Canada consultations, the ministers exchanged views on the work plan to implement the ASEAN-Canada Joint Declaration on Trade and Investment, or JDTI 2016-2020, and agreed the 2021-2025 work plan. Indonesian Trade Minister Agus Suparmanto explained that ASEAN, especially Indonesia, appreciated the 2016-2020 work plan to implement the ASEAN-Canada JDTI and welcomed the 2021-2025 work plan. Minister Suparmanto said Indonesia also invited ASEAN economic ministers to exchange thoughts on recommendations of ASEAN and Canada cooperation continuation. In the AEM CER consultations, the minister noted the recommendations from Australia ASEAN Chamber of Commerce, or AusCham ASEAN, Australia ASEAN Business Council, or AABC, and ASEAN New Zealand Business Council, or ANZBC. The recommendations were related to business perspective in trade and investment amid COVID-19 pandemic in the scope of ASEAN CER. Meanwhile, during the AEM India consultations, the ministers and ASEAN India Business Council, or AIBC, discussed various activities, issues, and recommendations from AIBC, both from ASEAN and Indian sides in the 2020 amid the pandemic. Besides, there was still suspension on the ratification of ASEAN-India Investment Agreement by Cambodia. The ministers also focused on discussing the review of ASEAN-India Trade in Goods Agreement that will be done after the signing of Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership Negotiation. The last consultation was with South Korea. In the meeting, both sides ratified the joint ministerial initiatives on bolstering the economic connectivity between ASEAN ROK in response to the COVID-19 outbreak. The document contains joint commitment to maintain market openness and determine measures in restoring economic condition in the area. Minister Agus Suparmanto explained various on-progress initiatives between ASEAN and South Korea were expected to encourage economic restoration in the area amid the pandemic. The ministers also agreed the commitment increased discussion in ASEAN-Korea Free Trade Area to be implemented in 2021. Besides that, ministers supported South Korea's recommendation to establish ASEAN Korea Industrial Innovation Center and ASEAN Korea Joint Standardization Research Center in one of ASEAN member countries. And listener, that was My Indonesia.
Welcome to the new normal. Now, we are facing uncertainties. Uncertain of when the pandemic will end, and also many other uncertainties. Coronavirus pandemic has changed many aspects of our lives. If you want to survive from this pandemic, you should prepare to adapt and live the new normal. In the prediction of the new normal, health and hygiene became the top commodity. Fear of getting infected makes people keep their health and hygiene more tightly when going outside. There will be sinks everywhere. Hand sanitizer becomes the most wanted goods. People wear a mask everywhere. Always keep your distance when doing activities. And avoid crowds. Also, you should not make any physical contact, even just for shaking hands. Vitamins will be consumed as many as food. Before traveling, people will have their temperature checked and will not be permitted to proceed if found not healthy. Temperature will always be checked during social activities like at malls, restaurants, or everywhere. It's also possible, in near future, people must bring personal health document when traveling, or health tracking system at airports and other transportation terminals can be more practical and efficient. Well then, welcome to the new normal.
Kau juga.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I'm going to let you know about a tourism city, Yogyakarta. Yogyakarta is the capital city of the special region of Yogyakarta in Indonesia. Yogyakarta City, where Sultan Hamengkubuwono and Grand Duke Paku Alam live, is one of the biggest cities in Indonesia. The city used to be the capital city of Indonesia in 1946. The name of Yogyakarta was taken from two words, namely Ayogya or Ayodhya, which means peacefulness. The city is also known as a student city because 20% of its population is students and there are 137 colleges. The location of Yogyakarta City is very strategic because it is located at the main ways, namely Southern Crossroad, which connects Yogyakarta, Bandung, Surakarta, Surabaya, and other cities in the south of Java, and Yogyakarta Semarang Road, which connects Yogyakarta, Magelang, Semarang, and other cities in Middle Crossroad of Java Island. Thereby, the transportation in Yogyakarta is quite adequate to more easily make the transportation mobility among the cities. Yogyakarta City is located at the valley of three rivers, namely Winongo River, Chode River, which splits the city to be two parts, and also Gajah Wong River. The city is rarely hit with huge floods because it has good drainage which was built by the Dutch colonial government, and also the addition of drainage which was provided by the provincial government of Yogyakarta. One of the districts in Yogyakarta, namely Kota Gede, was once the center of the Sultanate of Mataram from 1575 until 1640. The palaces that still function well are Ngayogyakarta Palace and Puro Paku Alaman as part of Mataram Sultanate. Yogyakarta also became the place of the establishment of the biggest Islamic organization, Muhammadiyah, which was established by Kiai Haji Ahmad Dahlan at Kauman Ngupasan Gondomanan, Yogyakarta in 1912. Until now, the central board of Muhammadiyah is still in Yogyakarta. Yogyakarta is a city full of history, which is still managed well. The city is still rich with Javanese culture and tradition. Therefore, many domestic and foreign tourists are interested to visit this city. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow we'll meet again with another interesting topic. Bye-bye.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio. We introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. The segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is, Berapa lama saya boleh pinjam buku ini? In English, how long can I borrow this book? Listen to this conversation about berapa lama saya boleh pinjam buku ini. In English, how long can I borrow this book? Kevin borrows a book at the university's library.
Berapa lama waktu pinjam buku ini?
Paling lama satu minggu.
Baik.
Ini bukunya. Jika telat mengembalikan, kena denda.
Baik, Pak. Terima kasih.
Sama-sama.
Now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I will say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Berapa lama saya boleh pinjam buku ini? Which means, how long can I borrow this book? Paling lama satu minggu. Which means, at most 1 week. Maksimal. Which means maximal or maximum. Pinjam, which means to borrow. Satu minggu, which means 1 week. Denda, which means fine. When someone borrows something, they certainly get a deadline for borrowing. If someone borrows something to you, you have to ask them, Berapa lama kamu mau pinjam? To answer the question, Berapa lama, which means how long, it is usually said hari or days, minggu or weeks, minggu or weeks, or bulan or month. But if you want to bring it back sooner, you can use the word nanti by mentioning a certain time such as nanti malam, nanti siang, and etc. For example, maksimal pinjam buku ini 2 hari. In English, you can borrow this book maximally 2 days. Motor ini harus kembali nanti malam. In English, this motorcycle must be returned this evening. Besides using the expression berapa lama, you can also use the word kapan. For example, kapan aku harus mengembalikan buku ini, which means when do I must return this book? Satu minggu ya, which means 1 week, okay? Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Berapa lama waktu pinjam buku ini?
Paling lama satu minggu.
Baik.
Ini bukunya. Jika telat mengembalikan, kena denda.
Baik, Pak. Terima kasih.
Sama-sama.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition will be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Hello listeners of Radio Republic Indonesia, wherever you are. I am Armando G. Alvarez, Ambassador of Mexico to Indonesia. I would like to say happy 75th anniversary to Radio Republic Indonesia and send my best wishes to all its members and listeners. Sekali diudara, tetap diudara.
Menjadi cinta, tinggallah.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today I would like to present a song from North Sumatra entitled Ngarap Kestung Api Baslau. The song Ngarap Kestung Api Baslau was composed by F. Lamindo Sihaloho. The lyrics describe an expression of someone who prefers to let the lover go. He or she tries to keep strong and hopes the lover's sincerity but it's like waiting for the flame in the water. Despite the pain, he or she sincerely wants to separate. Well, listener, here is the song Ngarap Gestung Api Baslau, sung by Vicky Sianipar and Teo Van Tapinem. Enjoy the song.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.